जय वृंदावन जय राधे जय कृष्ण जय श्री गोविंद गोपीनाथ मदन श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धनालिंदीयमुना जय जय महावा ऋषि घात वंशीवट द्वादश काना यह सब लीला कोइलो श्री नंद नंद यशोदा जय जय गोपगा जय जय धेनु वत्सला जय वृषभानु जय कीर्तिदा सुंदरी जय पौर्णमासी जय आभिर नागरी जय जय गोपीश्वर वृंदावन जय जय कृष्ण सखा भट्टु द्विजराज जय जय राम घाट जय रोहिणी नंदना जय जय वृंदावन वासियत जना जय वृंदावन जय 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 राम घाट जय रोहिणी नंदना जय जय वृंदावन वासियत जना जय द्विजा पत्नी जय नाग कन्या गान भक्ति ते आहारा पाइलो गोविंद चरा श्री रास मंडल जय जय राधाश्याम जय जय रासलीला सर्व मनोरमा जय जय ग्लानरस सर्वरस परकिया भावे ब्रजते त्वचा जनवपद पद्म करिया शरण दीन कृष्ण दास को गे नाम संकीर्तन जनव पद पद्म करिया स्मरण दीन कृष्ण दास को गे नाम संकीर्तन हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Krishna Balaram Jaya Vrindavana Dham Jaya Radhe Shyam Radhe Shyam Radhe Shyam Jaya Radhe Shyam Nittai Gauranga Jaya Nittai Gauranga Nittai Gauranga Jaya Nittai Gauranga Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Nittai Gaura Hari Bol
पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की श्री श्री बलराम जयंती महा महोत्सव की श्रीला प्रभुपाद की समावेत भक्त वृंद की कलयुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की निताई गौर प्रेमानंदी ओम ज्ञान तिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय विष्णुपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्पृषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानोसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यः एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Today I was planning to speak on a very special topic called the flute and the plough. But before we go to the topic, we'll do a few other topics. I want to recite some shlokas before we. This is the one. Very beautiful. We'll recite this. Prayers to Balaram first. Then we proceed. You are able to see it? Make it bigger for you. Or I will do it like this, 1 minute. A few verses. You can see now? Okay. Yeah. Stavarajam tu Ramasya Vedavyasakritam Shubham Sarva Siddhi Pradam Raja Shrinu Kaivalyadam Drina. I think I'll change the font just 1 minute. Yeah, now it's popular. Now. Is it big enough for you? All right. Shri Pradvipakamani said, O King, please hear the regal and beautiful prayer of Lord Balarama, prayer that brings liberation in all perfection. Devadi Deva Bhagavan, Kamapala Namostute, Namo Anantaya Sheshaya, Sakshat Ramaya Te Namaha. O Master of the Demigods, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Fulfiller of Desires, obeisances to you. O Lord Ananta Shesha, obeisances to you. O Lord Balaram, obeisances to you. Dhara Dharaya Purnaya Swadhamne Shirapanaye Sahasra Shirase Nityam Namasankarshanayate. O Lord who maintains the earth, O glorious Lord, O perfect and complete Lord, O Lord who holds a plough in your hand, O Lord who has 1,000 heads, O Lord Sankarsana, eternal obeisances to you. Revati Ramanatvam Vai Baladevachyuta Graja Halayuda Pralambagna Vahimam Purushottama. O husband of Revati, O Lord Balaram, O elder brother of Lord Krishna, O Lord who holds a plough, a weapon, O killer of Pralambasura, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, please protect me. Balaya Balabhadraya Talankaya Namo Namaha Neelambaraya Gauraya Rauhineyaya Te Namaha. O Lord Balaram, who carries a palm tree flag, obeisances to you. O son of Rohini, O fair complexioned Lord, dressed in blue garments, obeisances to you. Denukarir Mushtikarihi उतारेर बल बलवन बलांतकः कुतारीर बलवल अंतकः रुक्म्यरिहि कुपकर्णारि कुम कुम कुम्बन्दारिस्त्वम् एव हि यु आर द एनिमी ऑफ धेनुका एनिमी ऑफ मुष्टिका द एनिमी ऑफ कुट किलर ऑफ बलवल द एनिमी ऑफ रुक्मि एनिमी ऑफ कुपकर्ण एंड एनिमी ऑफ कुम्बंड कालिंदी भेदनोसित्वं हस्तिना पुरकर्षकः द्विविदारे यादवेन्द्रो व्रजमंडल मंडनः यू आर द लॉर्ड हु ब्रोक द यमुना एंड ड्रैग्ड हस्तिनापुर यू आर द एनिमी ऑफ द्विविदा यू आर द किंग ऑफ द यादवास यू आर द ऑर्नमेंट ऑफ व्रज सर्कल कम्स कंसबरात्रि प्रहंतासि तीर्थयात्रा कर प्रभु दुर्योधन गुरु साक्षात् पाहि पाहि प्रभो प्रभो अतः यू आर द किलर ऑफ कंसस ब्रदर्स यू आर द सुप्रीम मास्टर द लॉर्ड हु वेंट ऑन पिलग्रिमेज एंड दुर्योधनस गुरु ओ मास्टर प्लीज प्रोटेक्ट मी जय जयाच्युत देव परात्पर स्वयं अनंत दिगंत गत श्रुत सुर मुनिंद्र फनिंद्र चरायते मुसलिने बलिने हलिने नमः ओ इनफैलिबल लॉर्ड ग्रेटर देन द ग्रेटेस्ट ओ लॉर्ड हुज ग्लोरीज Are heard in all directions without limit. Glory to you, O Lord, served by the demigods, the king of the sages and kings of serpents. O powerful Lord, who holds a plough and a club, obeisances to you. Yapate satatam stavanam nara saduhare paramam padam avrajet jagati sarvabalam to arimardhanam भवति तस्य धनं स्वजनं धनं ए पर्सन हु रेगुलर रिसाइट्स दिस प्रेयर एट टाइम्स लॉर्ड हरि ट्रांसेंडेंटल अबोर्न ऑल द स्ट्रेंथ इन द यूनिवर्स इज हिज ही क्रशेस हिज एनिमीज एंड ही अटेन्स ग्रेट वेल्थ एंड अ ग्रेट डायनेस्टी ऑफ कोर्स ही कैन क्रश द एनिमीज विद बलराम्स हेल्प नॉट बाय आवर ओन स्ट्रेंथ सो Today is a very auspicious day of Balaram's appearance. So when Lord Krishna expands himself as Swamshas and Vibhinnamshas, in the Vaibhava Prakash is the expansion of Balaram. Where Vaibhava Prakash means there is Prabhava Prakash and Vaibhava Prakash. Like Krishna sometimes expands in rasa dance in a similar form like his, isn't it? And that is Prabhava Prakash. Now Vaibhava Prakash means he expands in a form, slightly different form, which is different in color, like Balaram. Like Balaram. Although he is also considered just like Krishna only. He expands. One another difference apart from the color of Balaram from Krishna is the mood of Balaram. The mood of Balaram is one of being a servant of the Lord. Although he is the very first expansion, he always considers himself servant of Krishna. In every role that he plays, in all the five rasas he plays a role in relation to Krishna. And he eternally serves him as a in Shantarasa, in various type of... So I want to show you something so that we can read and then we can discuss. Anyway, here there is a very elaborate description, but briefly it explains that Balaram with the help of Balaram, Krishna expands, Balaram expands, five expansions primarily, the Mula Sankarshan, and from Mula Sankarshan, in the first quadruple expansion, the second quadruple expansion, the Sankarshan is called Mahasankarshan, and from that Mahasankarshan comes Mahavishnu. Then you all know, from that Karbhadaksha Vishnu, Kshiradaksha Vishnu. So these five incarnations are prominently mentioned, and each of them do one particular service. Like for example, Garbhadaksha Vishnu is called as the soul of each Brahmanda. Is considered as the super soul of each Brahmanda. Like in our body, the super soul, who is it? Kshiradaksha Vishnu. But in the Brahmanda, who is the super soul? But then who is the soul? Brahma. Brahma is the soul. And Garbhadaksha Vishnu is the super soul. Like in our body, we are the soul. And we have a super soul, which is Kshiradaksha Vishnu. But for the whole universe, Garbhadaksha Vishnu is called like the super soul. And Brahma is the soul. And Mahavishnu expands himself as Garbhadaksha Vishnu and Kshiradaksha Vishnu for different activities. So, if you study each of these personalities very minutely, very carefully, then you get to know various details. Like, if you take Mahavishnu, Mahavishnu lies in the Viraja river, which is the spiritual waters. Only a drop of that Viraja is considered to be Ganga. You can imagine, just one drop of Viraja can be such a vast Ganga waters. Which entered into the universe when Vamana Deva cracked the shell of the universe. That time the Viraja waters entered and it became Ganga after that. So in that Mahavishnu is lying, and Mahavishnu's magnificence is said, how great he is. Only his one exhalation and one inhalation is the lifespan of Brahma. And Mahavishnu is the source of all the seeds of the universe. From those seeds expands all the universes. When it comes out of his body, they come in a very small fashion and then they expand gradually, like the seeds. And then he again waves them all back into him. And Mahavishnu also keeps the living entities after one particular Brahmanda is destroyed in his navel. And then when new Brahmanda is created, he gives them bodies. I mean, he gives them one of the Brahmandas to enter into, like that. So, in this way, Mahavishnu creates millions of universes. They emanate from the pores of his body and they... now, when the universes are created, the same Mahavishnu enters into each universe as a Garbhadaksha Vishnu. There you will see, he finds that the universe is empty practically, nothing is there. So he wants to create a place for himself to stay. So where does he stay? He brings water out of his own body and fills half of the universe. The Prabhupada says, don't be shocked, how can so much water come out of his body? You are a tiny living entity, you can sweat little bit. Little sweat comes when you dance a lot, isn't it? But when Mahavishnu, when Garbhadaksha Vishnu is such a great God that he can fill up a universe, half the universe with water. And then he lies there in Anantashesha. And then when he lies in the Anantashesha, then he does a lot of things. Then he creates Brahma in his navel with the lotus. And he also, from his navel only, he creates the lotus, which is none other than the Virat Purusha. You will read Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam Purport, second canto, that Virat Purusha is none other than the same lotus stem and the lotus. All the 14 planetary systems are arranged around it. So you have seen the picture of one Virat Purusha running, like a running kind of thing. So 14 planetary systems are arranged, so expands as that. From his body only that comes. And then he creates the first created living being, Brahma, and then instructs him that you post all the living entities according to their gunas, in higher, lower or middle. And you also give them bodies. So Brahma actually makes 8.4 million species of life, the templates for them. The idea is provided by Vishnu, because Lord says that Jnanam paramaguhyam me yad vijnana samanvitam tadrahasyam tadangam cha grihana. What is the grihana? Uditam maya. He's saying that I will give you the knowledge how to create everything, 8.4 million species. So, in this way, through the Prakriti and Brahma's input, you will find all the living beings are given their bodies, like we all have our bodies, 8.4 million species. Prabhupada gives example, like if a potter takes a wheel and then rotates the wheel and then makes many, many type of pots, so our bodies are like pots. And each jiva is put in one body, and then we are all given bodies, millions of living entities all over the world. And this is all done under the guidance of Garbhadaksha Vishnu, to Brahma. And so the bodies are given, then he gives him the Vedic knowledge, which Brahma hands over down in the parampara to all the living entities. That means living entities have food, clothing, shelter arranged. So food is what? Grains, fruits, everything. And clothing is the material body. And the shelter is the Brahmanda, along with your particular planet in which you are located. So food, clothing, shelter is arranged. After eating food, getting stronger, then one will want to do sense gratification. Then the Vedas are given, you know, so that you will not get diverted and fall down in this world. So the Vedic knowledge can purify our heart and we can wake up. So, in this way, sarga, visarga, sthana, poshana, utaya, ishanukata, manvantara, and then nirodha, mukti, and then ashray. All these 10 tattvas you will see one after another. They are all arranged in this world. And then when he becomes Kshirodaksha Vishnu, he is there in every atom. Otherwise the atom, even the electrons cannot revolve around the nucleus. If Kshirodaksha Vishnu is not there, nothing moves without the Lord's presence. How much, see, what is most amazing when I read all this, how deeper penetration he has in each and everything in this universe, which is the smallest unit of matter, atom. And then there are further smaller things like protons, neutrons and mesons and all that. But the Lord is present up to that level, micro level he is present. And at a macro level, what is the macro level man knows of? He doesn't know even about one Brahmanda also. There are crores of Brahmandas. And Mahavishnu, that's why he is called Mahavishnu, or Karanadaksha Vishnu. So at a macro level and micro level, Balaram is expanding and operating. Now, why Balaram expands himself like this and creates the material existence? Because the living entities who have come here, they want to have an independent program. So it is Krishna's desire that let some facility be created for those living entities who want to be independent and then take some time to surrender. Correct, no? Take some million lives to surrender gradually. So Krishna requests Balaram, and Balaram arranges everything. You can see what kind of, it's not a small arrangement, it's a huge arrangement, isn't it? Expanding as three big Vishnus. So, and creates facility. Not only that, Balaram does one another very important thing. As I told in the early morning today, that there is a director within and preceptor without. So both of them are empowered with spiritual strength by whom? Balaram. So Balaram gives the spiritual strength to Guru to be able to teach the Vedic wisdom effectively with clarity and shelter the living entities. And then connect them to the Guru Parampara and then arrange for them to go back to Godhead, isn't it? So all this is doing in this world. Balaram is doing all this. And in that world, what is he doing? That is also explained. Okay. In that world, very beautifully it is described there. These are all pastimes. These are all different pastimes list given here. Okay. Here you will find it. So we will recite one verse here, this one. You are able to see it? So that before we miss it, we can recite it now only. Vahasi vapushi vishadevasanam jaladhabam. Boliye? Halahati bhiti milita yamunabham. Keshavadrita haladhara rupa jaya jagadish hare. Jaya jagadish hare. Jaya jagadish hare. Jai Jagadish Hare. Jai Jagadish. Vahasi vapushi vishade vasanam jaladabham. Halahati bhiti milita yamunabham. Vahasi vapushi Keshavadrita haladhara rupa jaya jagadish hare. Jaya jagadish hare. Jaya jagadish hare. Somebody read this.
O Keshava, O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of Lord Balaram, the wielder of the plough, all glories to you. On your brilliant white body you wear garments the color of a fresh blue rain cloud. These garments are colored like the beautiful dark hue of the river Yamuna, who feels great fear due to the striking of your plowshare.
Yeah. So, I marked and kept some important sections just. This is description of his form, which we can meditate upon. Very important for Rupa Dhyanam. This is very important. Please read this. Powerful Lord Balaram.
Powerful Lord Balaram is 16 years old, full of lustre of youth, and has a fair complexion, the color of crystal. Balaram wears blue garments and a garland of forest flowers. Baldev's handsome hair is tied in a graceful top knot. Splendid earrings adorn Balaram's ears. Shri Baladev's neck is splendidly decorated with garlands of flowers and strings of jewels. Splendid bracelets and armlets ornament Dauji's graceful and very strong arms. Balaram's feet are decorated with splendid jeweled anklets. Shri Baladev is Krishna's dearest friend. Baladev is a great reservoir of the nectar mellows of many kinds of transcendental pastimes. Lord Balaram's beauty is enchanted by the earrings. Enhanced by the earrings touching his cheeks. Balaram's face is decorated with tilak made from musk. And Balaram's broad chest is ornamented with gunja, small red, black and white berries native to Vrindavan. Shri Baladev's voice is very grave and his arms are very long, touching his thighs.
So this is his form of Balaram. See here it is mentioned, in Vrindavan, Vamshivat is 37 miles away from Nandagram. But by Balaram's blessing, Krishna arrives there very easily, quickly. Because in his expansion as the dham itself. Now till now I was telling about material world. Now we are talking about spiritual world. So in spiritual world, although it is 37 miles long, if Krishna wants to spend more time with his friends in the forest and play games, then Balaram will expand the dham. So that Krishna's returning home will become more longer, more delayed. Correct, no? And if Krishna feels, oh, Yashoda will be in tension, because today it has become very late, I want to go quickly, then what he will do? He will contract the dham like a lotus. Like a lotus can shrink, lotus can? Therefore the dham is like a lotus. It is said, dham is like lotus. It can expand or contract. So, because there is expansion of Balaram only, which means in the spiritual world, what we think of in the material world as something dead or inanimate, in spiritual world nothing is inanimate. Everything is conscious. So in this way the dham can expand and accommodate Krishna's desires. Like that he says. Not only that, here one more mention is made here. Srila Sanatana Goswami was doing bhajan in Vrindavan and he walked to on circumambulated Govardhan Hill. In this way, when he went for performing Madhukari and then he returned to Vrindavan to serve his beloved Madan Mohan. So it is said that 108 kilometers he walked in one day. So how do you think he did that? Because Balaramji enabled Sanatana Goswami to do that incredible services. So he shrunk the dam and made it quick for him to complete the whole thing and come. Like that he is saying. So Balaram is Vrindavan. He himself expands as the dham in the spiritual world. Of course, Balaram is serving in different rasas. But one more thing I want to show you was about morning I told you this point. The sword of knowledge is given by Krishna, but when one serves Guru and Krishna in order to hold the sword of Krishna's instruction, Balaram gives the strength. So thus one should accept the sword of knowledge from Krishna and be strong with the mercy of Balaram. We are therefore worshipping Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. I can explain it a little bit. You see, sometimes we have Prabhupada's books with us, but we don't have interest to study them. That means knowledge is available, but we don't have the strength to accept it. Correct, no? Similarly, sometimes Puran Poli is available, but we cannot digest it. See, sometimes a 20 or 25-year-old boy can eat 4 Puran Polis, isn't it? But imagine if you are 40, 45, you want to eat more, but can you? You cannot digest. So we don't have digestive ability, or similarly we don't have spiritual inclination and spiritual strength to take the spiritual advantage. Like for example, Prabhupada says, you know, when announcement was made, those who wish to go to see Shesha Sai Vishnu can go, and those who don't want to go can stay back and attend the lecture of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. What did Prabhupada do? Attend lecture. Because he had the strength to sit down and hear the lecture and benefit from it. Correct, no? So therefore, if I am weak, same way we are struggling to chant, we are struggling to listen to class, we are struggling to read Prabhupada's books, and even though there is time to hear lectures, you know, Prabhupada's lectures are nowadays available at fingertip, still we don't have the sufficient interest to hear them often. So that is because of lack of spiritual strength. Like one very rich man came here once. So I gave him mala also. So 6 months later he came again, I met him. I asked him, "So how is mala going? Are you chanting 4 rounds? He said, "No, no, Swamiji, no, I have given it up. I am not able to chant." Then I asked, "What is the problem? I think you are very busy with your business." He said, "No, no, no. My sons are all grown up, they are running business." Then I asked him, "Then if they are running, what is the problem? I think you are not getting time." He said, "Time ke kya baat hai? Din bhar, no, I am holiday free, I am retired man. I am 65, 70 now. I have ample of time." You know. Then I asked, "Then you are worried about making money?" "No, no, I am a millionaire." Then I said, "Then what is the problem? Why are you not able to chant?" "Lagan nahi hai," you are selling. "I don't have that interest to chant. Mala is there, big puja room is there, wife is very sincere, 16 rounds she is chanting. But he is not interested. So what he needs? He needs Balaram's mercy, he needs. Correct, no? He needs spiritual strength. Although spiritual items are there, if you want to take advantage of, that means he is not able to lift the sword. Correct, no? That's what he is saying. Please read this correct book. If devotees cry out.
If a devotee cries out humbly and sincerely to Lord Shri Krishna to remove these demoniac qualities which are represented by the demons killed by Lord Krishna, then Shri Krishna himself will remove those evils. But the devotees must personally work to drive out the anarthas represented by the demons killed by Lord Balaram. This is a mystery of Vraja Bhajan.
Here comes a new thing you will hear, probably you haven't heard before. There are two types of demons. Some demons are killed by Krishna, some are killed by Balaram. Now what is the difference between these two types of demons? The demons killed by Krishna, now also will be killed by Krishna only in your heart, when you pray. Because each of the demons killed by Krishna, you know, they represent some anartha, correct, no? Like Putana was killed. Now for example, Putana represents false guru. So in order for you not to get cheated by some false pseudo guru, so you have to only pray to Krishna. And Krishna will ensure that you will not get diverted by pseudo guru. So you don't have to worry about anything. You only have to pray to Krishna. But that's not the case with the demons killed by Balaram. So demons killed by Balaram have to be killed by you only, but with the mercy of Balaram. Balaram will give you some help. Regarding this, our Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written very beautiful point to elaborate this point. You understand this point, no? I'll just show you. This is a very important point what you are making now. See, read this.
Taking shelter of Guru. 1. Balaram. Without spiritual strength, you cannot approach Krishna. Lord Ananta, holding all universes, or Balaram, is the Adi Guru who supplies spiritual strength to all the gurus in parampara.
For example, I am sitting on the Vyasasana. Vyasasana is sitting on the ground, correct, no? And the ground is the earth. And how is the earth sustained, if you see, within this universe? And how are the universes sustained, if you see? They are sustained by Ananta's power, correct, no? Ananta has a power, what we people call as M1, M2 by R square, you know, G, isn't it? So there is a magnetic pull between, you know, objects, they say, that actually the pull with which the things are sustained, that is made possible by Ananta's power. And what thing Ananta is resting? He is shelter of himself only. Like that it is said. Yeah, yes.
2. Dhenukasur. Our contamination is like Dhenukasur, ignorance of our eternal identity. The demon has to be killed by one's own endeavors.
See, one's
own endeavors. After hearing appropriate instructions from Guru.
So Guru will give you instruction and he'll put a torch light and show you these anarthas. But we have to endeavor to remove them, he says. Yeah, read it.
The holy name alone is sufficient to take you back home, back to Godhead. However, to cultivate the mood of surrender, you need a guru. You cannot become free.
Okay, I will show you another one. Just 1 minute. This one.
3. Protective mother. Guru is like the affectionate mother who nurtures and protects her newborn baby girl, Bhakti Lata, from bad elements, heat, cold, hunger, thirst, dangerous creatures, which are misconceptions of bhakti, siddhi, mukti.
Yeah. So, bhakti, mukti, siddhi, kami, sakale, ashanta. So, we all suffer with these diseases in our mind. And we are like a little girl, newborn little girl, Bhakti Lata, we have in our heart. But Guru is like a mother who actually offers nourishment and protection, both. Okay, how does he do that? That is explained. Bhakti and Bhakti Abhas. How does Guru protect the Shraddha or faith of the disciple? Yeah?
Guru protects our Shraddha and faith by revealing what is Bhakti and by exposing what is Bhakti Abhas weeds.
He clearly shows us the difference between the two. The semblance of Bhakti means Bhakti Abhas, which looks like Bhakti. And what is real bhakti? For example, it is one thing to be genuinely saintly. It's another thing to be appearing saintly. Correct, no? Like Ravana, when he went to take Sita, he was appearing saintly, externally. But he was not genuinely saintly. Correct, no? So, in the same manner, Bhakti Abhas is appearing saintly. Or appearing like a devotee. Externally looking like a devotee, but actually internally one has different intentions of bhakti, mukti, siddhi and all that. And actual genuine bhakti is what is very pleasing to Krishna. So Guru will show us by his teachings that these are the bhakti abhas weeds you have, and he will help us to get those weeds out. He will guide us. Okay. So that's what I told you. The point I was making was same point. What is the mystery of Vraja Bhajan? The demons killed by Lord Balaram have to be removed by the individual. Read that, the aspirant.
The aspirant must personally remove these strong impediments with the best care and efforts and by obtaining the mercy of Krishna. If the devotee's humility becomes very deep and intense, Krishna will be merciful. In that case, the feeling of Lord Balaram will arise in his mind and quickly destroy these demoniac qualities. Then one will gradually improve his cultivation of bhajan.
Like that he is saying. So now we will come to our topic which I was telling. This is an article by Srila Gaur Govind Swami, very beautiful article. Is it big enough for you? Okay. So, this is Karshana Akarshana. So, Krishna does Akarshan and Balaram does Karshan. So, plow and the flute, he says. So, who has plow? Balaram. And who has flute? So he says, flute is Raganuga Bhakti and plough is Vaidhi Bhakti. Like that he says. So that means first comes plough, then comes flute. So generally when newcomers come, when they hear about the spiritual world, they become so thrilled. I have an experience in Mayapur Youth Festival. I would be speaking sometimes 3 hours and it would be lunch time. It will be 2:30. I will tell them, now it's time for lunch. You all go for lunch and come. Then evening we will continue discussion. They will say, no, Prabhuji, please kindly tell us what happened after the Yashoda, what she did. what Krishna did, they would be just... So one, some of the boys would come and tell me, Prabhu, we feel like going to spiritual world just now. So in the same manner, everybody is eager to hear the flute sound of Krishnaya. But for hearing the flute sound, we have to pay the price, which is the plow, which is Vaidhi Bhakti. So let us see this dialogue. The first part of the dialogue is simple, not connected to this directly. He is asking about why is Balaram's color white. And Maharaj is saying that because Koti Chandra Sushitala, you know, his mercy is like a full moon. Therefore, his Balaram's color is also like a Purnima. Today is Purnima, no? Yeah. Okay. Now you read this one. Balaram has a plow.
Balaram has a plow in his hand and Krishna has a flute. First, cultivation is needed. Karshana. Then all nasty weed-like things will be rooted out. The field should be cultivated properly with the plow of Balaram. Then the field of the heart, Hridaya Kshetra, becomes fertile and seed of the devotional creeper, Bhakti Lata, may be sown. The field must not be barren. If you sow the seed on barren land, it will never fructify.
Yeah. So what Maharaj is saying here, some interesting point he says, I used to think that the guru takes the plow and plows our heart and then prepares it for, you know, receiving the seed and then growing. But what Maharaj is saying here, the heart has to be prepared by the disciple himself, he says. Now you will see that what is going to come here, what follows here. Read this. That's what?
This is what Gopinath Acharya said to Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Why am I sowing seeds in a barren land but trying to convince you? I am doing useless labor because it will never fructify. After proper cultivation by Balaram's plow, when the land is fertile, then the seed should be sown. When the seed sprouts and you develop Prema Bhakti, then you will be attracted by Krishna's flute. The flute represents akarshan.
So there are two stages he is telling. That is, first stage is the heart is plowed, then it is ready for receiving the Bhakti Lata. For example, if you put the seed on a cement floor, will it grow? It'll be useless. Nothing is going to come on a cement. But if you put it in the garden after plowing the ground, you know, and then you put the seed, then the garden ground becomes suitable for receiving the seed. And then when you water it, then it will grow. So he's saying in the same manner, when the Bhakti Lata grows bigger and bigger and bigger, then the fruit of Krishna Prema is attained. And that is actually the, as he says here, then you'll be attracted by Krishna's flute at that time. Go ahead.
Devotee. When we hear from a bona fide guru, is that cultivation of the land?
So he's asking, we are talking about plowing the field. Exactly what is plowing? Is it Shravanam? Just hearing lectures, he's asking. Yeah.
Shri Gaur Swami answers. Cultivating the land means following the rules and regulations. Vaidhi Bhakti.
Ah, here comes the point. See, actually it is not just Shravanam. See, the purpose of Shravanam is to inspire us to do two things. Abhyasena te kaunteya, vairagyena te krihate. And abhyasa is chanting 16 rounds. And vairagya is following 4 regs. So if the shravanam is actually helping you to do these two things well, that means chanting Hare Krishna well and following the 4 regs well, then the shravan is fulfilling its purpose. And if somebody says, I am doing shravanam, but in 16 rounds, I'm pathetic, I'm not chanting well, and I'm not following the 4 regs well. I'm breaking many of the regs. So then it is like, you know, somebody pouring ghee in ashes. You understand, no? So the hearing is not taking effect. Or we can say it's like somebody eating a big plate of food, but he is still remaining very slim and thin. Because some people actually eat food. Within half an hour, immediately they have to rush to a lavatory. As soon as it goes, immediately it goes out. Finished. Nothing remains in the body. It doesn't digest. It goes in the top and then comes at the bottom very quickly. They don't digest it. So therefore he is saying that cultivating the land means following the rules and regulations, Vaidhi Bhakti, yeah.
The Guru will give you some do's and some don'ts. Follow the rules and regulations, chant 16 rounds per day, etc. After proper cultivation, the unwanted weed-like things are rooted out, anartha upashama, and the field becomes fertile. Then the Guru will sow the Bhakti Lata Beej. Under His guidance, you will do Shravadam Kirtanam. You will hear Krishna Katha, and then you will develop Raganuga Bhakti. You will come to Ragamarga Bhakti and develop Prema under the guidance of that Guru.
Yeah.
Then you will see Krishna, then you will get Krishna.
Okay. Now what is he saying here? Actually you see, Bhakti Lata means what? The purpose is the idea, seed idea in spiritual life. For example, anything you do in this world, there is seed idea. Say you want to construct a building. First you get a thought in the mind, I will purchase that land and I will make a nice house for me. Then the idea comes, my house will have a drawing room like this and kitchen will be like this, study room will be like that and garden can be in the front and all those things. So then the idea you go and tell civil engineer and then he makes a blueprint. And the blueprint is now converted into actual house. So three stages, one is idea, second is blueprint, third is actual house. Yeah. In the same manner, Guru gives us the idea about spiritual life. What is that? The Bhakti Lata Beej means purpose is the set of rules, procedures, you know, prescriptions and prohibitions, everything he gives. Like for example, 64 regulative principles that Rupa Goswami gives. Those are all coming in this Bhakti Lata. And also Navavidha Bhakti. Like worship of the deity and all that. And also avoidance of 4 or 5 types of aparadhas. Like we say, you know, seva aparad, dham aparad, nam aparad, vaishnava aparad. Guru teaches all these things. And then he says that these aparadhas you don't do, and these 64 items of devotion service you do. And then the 18 items of nectar of instruction also. Correct, no? Vachavega, manasavega, manatyahara, prayasana, utsahanashya, dairya. And then how to live amongst the Sangha of devotees? Dadati pradigranati guhyamakyati prachati. So Guru teaches this. Therefore we sing in that song. Okay, Vaishnava Thakur, Dvayara Sagar, Yedasi Karuna Kori. Chaya Vega Domi, Chaya Dosha Shodi, Chaya Guna, Deho Dasi, Chaya Sat Sangha. So first 4 verses of Nectar of Instruction are covered in that. Yeah? And this is the seed. This is the seed Guru gives. But interestingly what he says here, you see here again. Cultivating the land means you first follow the rules and regulations, Vaidhi Bhakti. The Guru will give you some do's and don'ts. Follow the rules and regulations, chant 16 rounds every day. After that proper cultivation, the unwanted weed like things are rooted out, anata upashama. And then the Guru will sow the Bhakti Lata, he is saying. So what is the meaning of that? In the beginning when you come, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, you know, Bhajana Kriya, in these stages, we have not heartily accepted the Guru. But we have some Shraddha. Correct, no? We have come with some faith. And then we accept some things and we don't accept some things. And we go on like that. And then when the Bhajanakriya stage, when the initiation comes. See, even before initiation, people are chanting. Do you agree? Even before initiation, they are following 4 regs. Correct, no? That's what he's saying. That is actually cultivating the land, he's saying. You are actually preparing. That means initiation should be taken when our heart is like a red hot rod. When a rod is red hot or yellow hot or white hot, you know, one has that fiery spirit of one considers that Krishna consciousness is the emergency. You know, it cannot wait. I have to be initiated. When one feels, that means you have already prepared your heart. You have plowed the heart, you are chanting Hare Krishna, you are following the 4 regs, you have plowed the heart. Now you are crying that please give me shelter. Like Rukmini wanted to get married to Krishna. Was she very feeling emergency or she thought, Krishna, whenever you get time, please take me, she said. You were desperate because marriage was day after tomorrow And then that day she waited, the next day also, and then Brahmana came back, and then she went to the Ambika, and Ambika temple she said, see, the soldiers are standing there, I am here. If I come out of the temple, once I get to the palanquin where the soldiers are guarding it, then there is practically no hope, because it will be very difficult for Krishna to break through the formation of the soldiers and everything. Like that she felt. Krishna, at that time Krishna came. So she felt emergency, correct, no? And in the same manner, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur told Prabhupada, what is emergency, he told him? Which one? Freedom for India? Oh, Krishna consciousness is emergency, he told him. He said it cannot wait. Now one government will come, another government will go and all that he said. But Krishna consciousness is emergency. You know, he told him like that. Billo Mangal Thakur took Krishna consciousness in an emergency way or very light way. Chintamani created emergency for him. Correct, no? Then he ran to Vrindavan. After that you will see. So people actually become Krishna conscious. So that means, you know, you actually plow the heart and you are preparing the heart, and then when a certain stage comes, then Guru sows the seed. Now what do you think Guru is giving? Guru gives little more expanded instructions than what you were earlier doing. Earlier you were doing some basic chanting, some following four regs, up to Shraddha, Salsanga, Bhajanakriya. Then when Bhajanakriya becomes very ripe, when Guru sees that he is ready for initiation. So one time my spiritual master told me also, why is he delaying the initiations nowadays? He was telling that, he said the more people feel desperateness, he said once a person gets initiated, some complacency sets in. But when a person is not initiated, 8 years, 10 years they are waiting, some of them. So he says that when they are very desperate, and by the time what happens, it becomes very clear whether they really want Krishna consciousness or not. Because so many years somebody is practicing, 16 rounds, 4 regs, then only one gets. That means we have to prepare the ground. We have to work hard for receiving the seed, like that he says. And then he says that Guru will give you the seed, then Guru will sow the seed. So the Bhakti Lata Beej. And then he gives further guidance. And Guru teaches us how to do Shravanam and Kirtanam. Then you hear Krishna Katha. And then you will develop Raganuga Bhakti. Because you are taking from a Vaishnava Guru, so the Vaidhi Bhakti turns into Raganuga Bhakti. Then you will come to Ragamarga Bhakti and develop Prema under the guidance of that Guru. Then you will see Krishna. Then you will see Krishna, and then you will get Krishna, he says. Because there is Shravana Dasha, there is Varana Dasha, then there is Sampatti Dasha, we call it. In Shravana Dasha, your eagerness to hear about Krishna increases more and more. And in Varana Dasha, you describe the same things what you heard ecstatically, with great ecstasy and feeling you describe. That is Varana Dasha. And Sampatti Dasha means you fall love with Krishna in attachment. You become deeply attached to Krishna. So all these things happen. Then you come to Raga Bhakti after that. And then read it further. Then
the sweet flute singing of Krishna, which attracts everyone, will enchant you. Akarshan is the ultimate thing. But first must come Karshana, cultivation. Karshana, Akarshana. Cultivation and enchantment. This is the Krishna Balaram Mandir. Name of the temple in Bhubaneswar.
Yeah. Karshana, Akarshana. So Balaram does Karshan and Krishna does Akarshana. Actually, Krishna is always Akarshana only. Akarshayati iti Krishna, it is said. He is always attractive. But we are not attracted. Why? Because we are covered over. Correct, no? So for that, Karshana has to be done. To feel the Akarshan, just like there is a magnet. Magnet is always attracting, but the iron filings, if they are polished and completely neat and clean, you have seen new iron nails, if you bring in a packet, you bring the magnet, immediately they get attracted. On the other hand, if there was a nail in your house for 20 years, you know, it's rusting and covered with mud and everything, you know, you bring it, it's not attracting at all. Similarly, we are covered over. So the Akarshan is not there. So we need Karshan to remove that impurity, he says. Also he says about the mercy of Baladev. Please read this. Without the mercy of Baladev, we can't.
Without the mercy of Baladev, the killing of the six sons of Vasudev is significant. They represent Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, and Gandha. The five sense objects, sound, touch, form, taste, and smell, plus the wicked mind.
Totally six, yeah. Just 1 minute, I will make it bigger now. Yeah. So these six children who died, and they represent these six anarthas, he says, yeah.
Unless these six are killed, okay. Your heart will not be in Shuddha Sattva. So how can Krishna appear? So these six sons were killed prior to the appearance of Lord Balaram. These six were previously six sons of Marichi Muni. They were cursed, so they came in the womb of Devaki and were killed by Kamsa. And after Kamsa killed them, they stayed with Bali Maharaj in Sutala Loka. When the sadhaka performs sadhana under the expert guidance of a bona fide guru, in course of time, these six enemies will be killed. All these desires for mundane enjoyment will gradually vanish, and the sadhaka will develop a higher taste. When the sadhaka attains the Shuddha Sattva stage, Krishna will appear. Otherwise, as long as these things are there, how can one make Krishna appear? It is impossible. You cannot develop love for Krishna and you cannot be attracted to Krishna unless the six things are destroyed. When all these six were gone, Lord Balaram appeared in the womb of Devaki. Now her womb is completely free from all material changes. It is Shuddha Sattva, completely pure, and has become an appropriate bed for Krishna. Ananta Shesh is an expansion of Balaram. He is in Patal and carries this universe just like a mustard seed on one of his hoods, and always glorifies Krishna with his unlimited mouth. That same Ananta first appeared in the womb of Rohini so that Krishna could appear there. Previously, Vasudev sent Rohini to Nanda Gokul.
Okay, now this is changing now. So, three important points are made here. One is the six children of Devaki who were killed, they represent Shabda Sparsha Rasa Rupa Gandha and the Man. And these have impurities. And also they represent Kama Krodha Madhulu Mohamasari, also it is said. And when they are cleared up, then Baladev comes in the womb of Devaki. Why? To cleanse the place, to make a proper seat for Krishna to appear. Because just now the anarthas are cleansed. Just like after eating food in a place, it's unclean. You have to clean the place. So he cleanses the place and then he moves on to his mother, Rohini. Therefore he is called Sankarshan. He is attracted to his mother's womb. Actually, he wants to appear from his mother's womb only. But Krishna wanted him to do this service. So he did the service before going to Rohini's womb. And then he prepared the place for Krishna to appear. And then Krishna appeared. Just like we have advance party. They go and prepare in one particular place. They arrange accommodation, arrange the prasadam, and arrange one tour guide, everything. Then the advance party comes back, then all the devotees go. And everything is facilitated there. Same thing Balaram also does. After the six anarthas are cleared, he makes the place fresh for Krishna to appear. Then Krishna appears as the eighth child of Devaki. In this way, Maharaj mentions this. So then here he says, Maharaj says that when Rohini came, she was in her third month of pregnancy when she came to this thing. She got pregnant in the month of Jyeshta and she came to Gokul in the month of Shravan. Jyeshta is November, correct, no? Shravan is February? Yeah, correct. What is this? This is Shravan? This is now. Jyeshta is which month? Jyeshta? But Balaram took birth in the next Shravan. Oh, 1 year later he took birth. So Balaram appeared after 14 months on the full moon day. Do you know, when Balaram appeared, he was completely mute. He was not speaking anything, although he was a very beautiful child. Very fair looking, and his face was like a full moon. And he appeared most strong and dynamic boy. But he was very mute, he wouldn't smile, he wouldn't speak. Naturally, Rohini was worried, why he is like this. But when Yashoda was pregnant with Krishna in her womb, one of the days Yashoda told Rohini, you bring your son, let me see whether I can make him speak. So when Yashoda took child Balaram on her lap, as soon as Balaram's ears touched Yashoda's womb, immediately felt the presence of Krishna. And he started laughing. And he started speaking and laughing also. And Yashoda would keep him down, again he'll become mute. Like that. Like that it is said. Similar to what we hear about Radharani, right? Radharani had closed eyes and she wouldn't open until, Krishna came to that place and she saw him eye to eye. Similar thing Balaram also exhibited. These are all very, very intimate associates. This is what I told you. Balaram assumes five forms to always help Krishna. Mula Sankarshan, then Maha Sankarshan, and then all the three Vishnu forms. Okay, there is some more part of the article. Another article I'll show you. This holiday we told that the devotee has to remove the things himself. Okay, let us say a few words about this. Please read it.
Dhenugasur.
My mic is not working.
Dhenugasur represents the bad mentality that carries heavy loads.
Yeah, little bit we will say about Dhenugasur. Dhenugasur represents mode of ignorance represented by a donkey. Why the example of a donkey is given? The donkey is called Vaishak Nandan, they call it. Why? When there is no rainy season, in summer season the grasses are very scanty. Little grass here, little grass there. So the donkey eats little grass in different places and he covers 10 lanes. And he goes and tells all the other donkeys that I have covered 10 lanes today. So much grass I have eaten. And in the rainy season, everywhere there is thick grass. So for him to cover from here to the end of the lane itself is difficult. So much grass is there. And then when he thinks, oh, in this rainy season I could eat only one lane. I couldn't cover 10 lanes. So thinking that I have not eaten enough, he becomes thin. Surprising, no? Actually, in which season he eats more? But even after eating he becomes thin. Whereas in summer season, he eats scantily populated grass here, there, little bit, but he has a confidence that I have eaten more. And because of that confidence, he becomes fat. Like Prabhupada says, a pig eats stool and becomes fat. He is very happy eating stool, he says. Similarly, this donkey also becomes happy that I have eaten a lot. See, what is the meaning of that? It's a very, very deep meaning. Meaning is, in material life, you accumulate a lot of material goods, all of which is going to be taken away. But one is very confident that, I have business expanded there, I have business expanded here. In the village we made a big bungalow, we purchased a big car. Actually he is owning things which will not be his very soon. They will all be taken away. But this foolish creature, donkey, is very happy and proud that I have covered 10 lanes. He becomes falsely confident. So that is one example of donkey, correct, no? Another reason why the donkey example is given, the donkey carries basmati rice on his back, but even he doesn't get one mushti also to eat, but he carries a lot. Similarly, Prabhupada says, one rich man had 4 sons and 3 daughters and like that, very big family, 7-8 children and everything. So this man used to do a lot of cheating in business, and he made a lot of money and saved a lot of money. But when the children grew up, they knew that the father looted and made a lot of money in the business. So they looted money from him, and they spent all the money and they used for their business. So this father was laughing to his friends that, you know, I saved so much money, but my children have looted everything from me now. I have practically no money, he was telling. So Prabhupada says there that this man produced, you know, 8 or 10 sons, daughters, and then they produced several sons and daughters, and then he had an expanded family of 100, 200, 300 people. So Prabhupada says this is called a sexual expansion in the family. He is a sexual Prajapati. So in this way people expand their material life. Of expanding population through sex and expanding money by looting, and letting father lets son to loot his money and son lets his son to loot money. So it's a looting program. Like that. And in this is called material life. Prabhupada says materialistic life. And he's very proud of that. See my expanded family. But at the end of his life, where is he going? What has he done for his paramartha? He has been only swartha. He has done nothing for the paramartha. So such a person is also considered a donkey. Because big zero in spiritual life. Like there are boys who write to me, Prabhuji, my grandfather is already 88. Still he wants to watch TV. Still he wants to, you know, drink liquor. He still wants to read newspaper. He's not ready to give up. So which means these people are, even at the fag end of their life, they have been rotting, doing all type of crazy activities. So then they are considered ignorant donkeys also. Because, you know, the donkey has basmati rice on his back, but he can't enjoy. Similarly, there are many people who loot and bring a lot of money, but they themselves are suffering. They can't enjoy. And also, the donkey is considered foolish. Why? You read this verse, Namam Dushkutino Mudha. Prabhupada explains the Mudha donkey there. He says there that the donkey works very hard all day. At the end of the day, he gets some grass from his malik, you know, the dobi. Now, but that grass is available where? Everywhere. Sarvatra labhyate daivat. Yatha dukkha mayatnataha. But the foolish donkey doesn't consider that. He thinks, no, I will work very hard. At the end of the day, my master will give me some grass to eat. Similarly, some people have this mentality that you go and work for some karmi fellow. Slog all day, 14, 16 hours a day. And then he gives you little money. Salary check at the end of the month. They very faithfully wag their tail and they work and salute and work like that. And they think that, you know, my maintenance is dependent on him. Prabhupada says your salary is not your maintenance. Krishna is your maintainer. Prabhupada says. Because if you think salary is maintaining you by giving you food, clothing, shelter, what salary is the pakshi, bird earning? Did bird get an engineering degree? Did the bird get a doctor degree? Chartered accountant degree? But is the bird getting his food or not? Okay. Ask about the African and jungle elephants. Did they earn any degree? Are they working for any company? And how are they getting their food? If you say my company is paying me salary, papi pet ka sawal hai, people say, no? It's for my stomach. But ask yourself. None of these animals, birds, go for a job and they don't do any other type of work. They get food. And this is the conviction of the saintly people also, that actually, you know, ultimately the maintainer is Krishna only. He will maintain everything. Not only he is maintainer of the sadhus like us, who are not doing any job, we just depend on Krishna. You just study shastras and you give his knowledge to people, and we have conviction that Krishna will take care of us. You don't make any separate program for your maintenance. He is the maintainer, ultimately. But even for those who are doing job and making money, they are also ultimately maintained by whom? Krishna only. He is the maintainer. So, but if one has conviction that Krishna is my maintainer, and he works only for Krishna, then Krishna will definitely maintain him. He doesn't have to worry. What is that verse? There is one verse which says, one will... If one does not depend on Krishna, depends on material arrangements, then he will not be maintained by Krishna. But if one totally depends on Krishna, he will be solidly maintained by Krishna. See, Prabhupada went with no manpower, no money power to America. He took 40 rupees and went, and he brought the 40 rupees back also. He didn't spend also there. But he went with 40 rupees and came with 40 crores and made all this Mayapur and Vrindavan and Bombay temples. So one should have that faith. But this donkey thinks, no, if my master doesn't give me this grass, I can't survive. Like that he thinks. Okay, if that is your faith, then work under the master. Then you have to carry the load. What is that load? It's called self-created duties. People carry a big burden of self-created duties to earn their livelihood by slogging hard. Actually, such people actually work much more harder than intelligent devotees who work 8 hours a day and just earn their livelihood. Every grihastha man has to maintain his wife and children and mother and father. He can't run away from the duty. But they should learn the art of, earning out that money. In case one says, Prabhuji, if I work 8 hours, I get this much money, that's not enough to run the family. That means you are extravagant. Extravagant means your desire to spend is more than your ability to earn. Prabhupada says, what is written in your fate is 8 to 10 hours you work. Whatever money comes, that is written in your fate. Over and above that, you are trying to work against the fate, slogging very hard. Materially, your achievements will not be appreciable because the destiny is always there. All that money will get spent in some other way. So therefore, the ignorance, this is another type of ignorance. So in this way, Dhenukasura represents the bad mentality of carrying heavy loads and also ignorance of one's identity. I am not the body, I am the soul. One doesn't know it. Because of not knowing one's identity, one becomes like a foolish donkey slogging hard in this world. Namam Dushkritino Mudha, he says. That Prabhupada explains very elaborately that. So, also, people will say that you don't know why am I working. I am a very intelligent man because I have better prospects. And just like in the donkey's neck, he tied a stick with a carrot, correct, no? So as the donkey went 3 feet ahead, what happened to carrot? Carrot also went 3 feet ahead. Better prospects are like that. In that connection as well, as Bhaktirasana Maharaj tells a story. Once Dobi was shouting at his daughter and said, hey, if you don't go to school and study well, and if you don't get good marks, I will get you married to my donkey. Like that he said. And the donkey overheard it. And then the donkey went and told the other donkeys, I have better prospects in this house, he said. They asked him, what is it? The Dobi is planning to get his daughter married to me. He's telling. So Maharaj was telling, this better prospect idea is like that only. Because you get better prospect and then you want more and you want more. It's an endless game. Like His Holiness Chandramani Maharaj says, the material world is a place where you can never stop playing and you'll never win. Either he says. You keep on slogging till last breath. Therefore the donkey example is given. And the pralamba represents lust for women, greed and desire for worship and position. There are two types of sex, gross sex and subtle sex. Gross sex, those who are in the renounced order, sannyasis and brahmacharis also over the years, they will have to work a lot on subtle sex. And if they don't work properly on subtle sex, it will turn into gross sex. For example, if a brahmachari, what is puja? He wants to be worshipped by others. Lab means he wants people to give him gifts and facilities. Like somebody should give me a flight ticket and call me there. Somebody should give me a laptop. Somebody should gift me a car for my program. You are expecting tangible gifts from the people you are preaching. And you expect that my birthday is coming, they should know my date of birth and they should offer some praises and their gratitude they should express to me. Itna kiya maine, kisne kuch nahi bola, nobody has told anything. So some anticipation of honor, respect, that is puja. And pratishta means prestige. Prestige means ijjat. you know, in the society, one may think that, you know, I am a senior devotee and I should be given the ghee lamp first. Or, like one devotee came and told me, Prabhu, I have spent so many years in the temple. He said, I said, yeah, I agree, you spent many years. Now, till date, they have not given me any Sunday feast program, he said. Then I asked him, have you done Bhagavatam? Yeah, I have done a few Bhagavatam. I said, you do more Bhagavatams. When you give good Bhagavatam, then we will invite you for Sunday feast. And when you give very good Sunday feast, we invite you for festival feast. So, but you are selling, but when will that be? I said, see, don't ask. I will put a word to the people. They will invite you to give. So, but you kept me on asking again and again. When will they tell me to give Sunday feast? You know, my congregation is asking. You know, aap itne bade bhakt hain, aapko kyon nahin de rahe hain, and things like that. Why are they not giving you? Then I told him, you will get the opportunity to give Sunday feast when you stop asking. Oh, now you understood the logic. Okay, I will not ask. And I said, I want to test your patience. How long you can wait without giving? Correct, no? So this is actually the pratishtha. Pratishtha means, you know, expecting some respect in one's position. People should recognize my achievements, my seniority, my greatness, my exclusive achievements and things like that. So the popularity. So these are all very subtle things as we grow in spiritual life. So, and because of this puja la pratishtha, when it comes, a brahmachari at a very senior level tends to become very independent. Just like our Indra became very independent, you know, in that Govardhan Leela. Correct, no? So he delights in independence and wants to become autonomous. Being autonomous, being independent, and doesn't want to listen to anybody. Whimsical. One becomes, this is the result of Pujala Pratishtha when one gets. And when that happens, then one wants to accrue bigger and bigger facility. I want a bigger smartphone. I want a bigger car. Now I am senior enough to go anywhere I want. And I am also very mature. Some people think I can even guide, you know, women, you know, in their spiritual life, in their married life. And then in this way one gets carried away. And the result is one will fall away. So therefore I said, if subtle sex is not controlled, then it will come to gross sex. And that is how one falls. So pralamba represents lust for women and greed for more and more and desire for worship and position. The devotee must remove these obstacles by his own efforts, but with the mercy of, see, here, this is the point I told you, by whose efforts? Svacheshta. Grinatascha? Svacheshtitam. So, you can't just dump the whole thing on the Guru and say, Guruji, you clear it. Or Krishna, you clear it. I can relax now. It's like, you know, you saw the scene and Krishna will give the reins. Similarly, Arjuna was told by Krishna that I will give you guidance, but who has to fight the battle? You, Arjuna has to fight. Can Arjuna sleep in the chariot and Krishna will do everything? No, he has to make the endeavor. Similarly, Guru will give knowledge, Guru will give mercy, Guru will give blessings, Guru will give seva, opportunity. He will create a movement like ISKCON, and he will provide prasadam. You know, he will provide you a library of books to study. Everything he will provide. And then after that, what we have to do? We have to take advantage of all those things that Guru is giving. And when we have doubts, we can always ask him, Guruji, please tell me what I should do. But ultimately, it's individual. Like once Prabhupada was strongly speaking on the Vyasas, and that there is no word in Vedic literature that one can divorce. He was speaking against divorce. Husband, wife should give up their ego and learn to cooperate and work together and all that he was telling. But when he finished the class and came out of the Vyasasana, one couple came to him and met him in his room and they wanted to divorce. And Prabhupada permitted them. So another disciple asked, Prabhupada, just now you spoke so strongly, how did you permit them? Prabhupada said, you see, why did I permit? Because if I don't permit and he still divorces, he'll be breaking Guru's instruction and he'll commit which aparad? Third aparad, Guru aparad. Already he is going to suffer because of divorcing and doing independently. Now he breaks Guru's, Guru Avagnya also he does, then double problem for him. Therefore I allowed him, like Prabhupada said like that. So you will see that Guru can only give good instruction. Ultimately we have to follow the instruction. In removing these two asuras, Dhenuka represents the donkey, represents our tamaguna. And Pralamba represents Rajoguna. Sex is characterized by Rajoguna. And ignorance of our identity, Krishna's identity, and our sambandha with Krishna, you know, and Maya's position. If somebody is allured by all that, so by Maya, that means his Dhenukasura is there. So we have to make our efforts. Guru can give good instructions, but we have to follow it. If we don't follow, then we suffer. So Dhenukasura means, please read, ignorance of?
Dhenukasura means ignorance of one's own spiritual identity, Swarupa, the identity of the holy name, and the identity of Krishna.
So this has to be with great endeavor. Devotee himself must remove these obstacles, he says. So here is a similar article, but he has given a little more. We will read this and we will conclude. Yeah, read it.
Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj. Rules and regulations are needed at the beginning. That's sadhana bhakti. Therefore, we have two paths, sadhana bhakti and raganuga bhakti. Therefore, Balaram's plough and Krishna's flute. Balaram has a plough in his hands and Krishna has a flute in his hands. Why? Balaram will cultivate. Sadhana bhakti is cultivation. The cultivated field is the heart. After being properly cultivated by sadhana bhakti, then comes karshana. You will come to raga bhakti. Then Krishna's flute will attract you. Akarshana. Karshana and akarshana are the activities of Krishna Balaram, devotee. Doesn't sadhana bhakti mean that very little love is there? Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj. Love will generate. Love will be produced if properly cultivated. If Guru sows the seed of the bhakti creeper, but your land is barren, then it will never sprout.
In that connection he gives the example of Gopinatha Acharya. He gives,
Gopinatha Acharya said to his brother-in-law Sarvabhaum, Ushara bhumite jena bijera ropan. I am just sowing seed in a barren land. How it will sprout, germinate? Tara kripa jabe habe. If Mahaprabhu showers mercy, then it will happen. After the field of heart has been cultivated and all anarthas are gone, then you will be attracted to Krishna. Then you will hear Krishna's flute and be attracted. Then you will run in the dead of night like the gopis. Bilva Mangal was so mad that he was running to the prostitute Chintamani in the dead of night in spite of torrential rain and all the land being inundated. Then Chintamani gave him a great blow, saying, "What is this? Why are you so attracted to my body? All nasty things are inside this body. Urine, stool, blood, bile, mucus, hair, bones and marrow. All nasty things. Is there anything nice in my body? Why are you not attracted to the all beautiful Krishna? Why are you not running to him and instead of running to me?" Then Bilva Mangal turned his face towards Krishna. The plow had gone very deep and rooted out the weeds. That is the action of Balaram's plow. That is the slap of Guru. Guru Karanadhara. Guru catches your ear and slaps you. "Hey, rascal, what are you doing?" Guru gives you a kick to help you understand. With one kick, everything will be finished. One kick is enough. My Guru Maharaj used to say that the blacksmith has a big hammer. With one stroke of that hammer, everything is finished. Nityananda's kick is Balaram's plow. It goes to the deepest regions of the heart. That kicking is his mercy. devotee. Should we pray for that kicking? Gaur Govind Maharaj. Yes. Pray for that kicking from Nityananda Ram, Balaram. You should beg for his mercy. Welcome it. Don't be afraid of it.
Krishna Balaram ki. Balaram Jayanti Mahamahotsav ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. Nice article, no?